just want to read a couple of portions of the account. One we read, a small portion of what we read this morning in Matthew's account. It says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The angel Gabriel announced to Mary of the upcoming birth of Jesus. I read a small portion in Luke 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. For when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Lord, as we again turn and open your word and review the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, Lord, open our eyes, open our heart, tenderize our heart before you, Lord, before you and for you. Lord, we again ask that you intervene and override and have your way here this morning. And all of us, Lord, and all the souls before you, according to your plan, according to your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Born to you this day, a Savior. He prophesied to the shepherd, the angel Gabriel. We've gone over this, every year or almost every year. But I noticed something that kind of stood out this time to me was what he was to be called. You know, he was pre-named. The Bible tells us, you shall call his name Jesus. The angel Gabriel told Joseph. The angel Gabriel told Mary before he was born. He was pre-named. We know that in the Greek, the meaning of his name, Yeshua or Hoshea, or the old Jewish name, Joshua, means Jehovah is salvation. And it really speaks of the work of Jesus Christ upon the earth. The importance of his name. You shall name him Jesus. It speaks of his work. The Bible tells us in Matthew that he shall save his people from their sins. Further on to the shepherds in verse 11, chapter 2, he said, Born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Speaking of his work to save his people from their sins, Jesus is salvation. We look at, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ, and we celebrate, you know, the birth of our Savior this time of year, you know. But the purpose, the meaning of his name, what he would be called, and the reason why he would be called Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. The work that he brought forth on the earth and brings forth on the earth is forgiveness of sins. In the Gospel of Mark, the Bible says that only God can forgive sins. The work that Jesus brings is the forgiveness of sin, the Savior that was born to us on this day that we celebrate. The Bible tells us of his name in the account of Luke, in the book of Acts, that there's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Only through the name of Jesus can we be saved from our sin. How he announced the birth of Jesus to Mary, Joseph, to the shepherds. Another name given in the account was that of Emmanuel. You shall call his name Emmanuel, the Bible tells us in the account of the birth of Christ in Matthew. Quoting a scripture from Isaiah 7, predicting or prophesying, Isaiah predicted his birth 700 years before he was born. You think of how, you know, it's God's stamp of approval. God saying, hey, this is the one. God, only God, can prophesy and predict a birth so far in advance. You think of the magnitude of that prophecy. In truth, you know, I was thinking in terms of just who do you think is going to be our next president? You know, most people, they don't have a clue. I don't know. It's hard to tell. It could go either way. You know, and the polls are up and down. I was watching a commentator on Fox News, and he considers himself ABH, anybody but Hillary. He says, he don't know who's going to be, we don't know who's going to be president, much less, what about the next term? Or let's leap forward, 20 years. Who'll be the president in 20 years? But God predicts the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior, 700 years before he was born. Quoting Matthew, quoting the scripture given in Isaiah, said it'll be a sign, a virgin will conceive, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Another aspect of his name, Jesus, Jehovah, is our salvation. God, and only through Jesus can we receive salvation. But Emmanuel. How this, you know, Jesus speaks of his work upon the earth, and Emmanuel speaks more of a deeper mystery of what God has done. God with us, bringing God here, God coming to man. Think of how you think about God. You can't contain who God is. You think about how infinite he is, how in the beginning God, he self-existed, how everything we see he created, everything. Then the Bible gives us the account that the worlds were framed through his word. He spoke into existence. We can't, it's our finite mind cannot wrap our arms around who he is. He's infinite. He's so much greater than man. A meaningful mystery of the union and the intent of God becoming man, or God coming to us, or God with us, Emmanuel. How important it is for him. You know, Jesus was here and is here by the Spirit, but was here, spoke through human lips. How infinite God is. But then God becoming a man being able to see his character, seen through human eyes, touched with a arm or a human arm, a flesh in a body. You know, the Bible tells us that you shall call him Emmanuel, prophesying in Isaiah and being fulfilled at his birth, the revelation of the mystery of God being with us. It's a unbridgeable gap between God and man. You think about God, he's infinite, he's holy, he's sinless, he's greater than we can understand. And really, the distance between man, me and you, us, mankind, and God, is an insurmountable gap that we can't cross or connect. The importance of Jesus coming to earth, being born our Savior. You shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. See, he bridged the gap. Man cannot bridge the gap, but God, becoming man, bridges the gap. The Bible tells us that there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Becoming a man, the incarnation, God with us, Emmanuel. In order to bring God to man, he bridges the gap. It's really the basis of our faith. You know, the incarnation, God becoming man, Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God becoming flesh, the Bible tells us. It's the basis of Christianity. Came to earth as a man, died upon a cross as a sacrifice for our sin, and, you know, that we might believe in him and receive salvation. Emmanuel, God with us, the Bible tells us. You shall call him Jesus, his name, Jehovah's salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. In the same passage in Luke, in verse 32, chapter 1, when Gabriel was announcing to Mary, he said, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Look down at verse 35. At the end of verse 35, he said, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Called Jesus, Emmanuel, Son of the Highest, Son of God. He, you know, was referred to as the Son of God before he was born. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses will look at that and say, you know, see, he was created. Because only begotten son, created a man, as if that began his existence. But the Bible tells us that he was called the Son of God before he was born. Paul says in Galatians that in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. Isaiah in a prophecy tells us that, you know, behold, I'll give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. His son, the Son of God. Good prophecy in Micah, the Bible talking about Jesus Christ in the Minor Prophet, tells us that whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. The prophet tells us that he steps out of eternity. He comes from everlasting, eternity, and he steps into the frame and the body of a man, the incarnation, the importance. God the Son, you shall call him the Son of God. The Bible calls him God, refers to him and entitles him God. In John, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. referred to as God, the Bible tells us. In the Old Testament, we go through when the angel of the Lord came before Joshua, when the angel of the Lord spoke to Moses, speaking of theophanies, a manifestation. Most scholars believe it was Jesus Christ before he became a man in the form of an angel communicating to man. Jesus, born as a baby, born as a man, but always existing, self-existing. God the Son, you shall call him Son of the Highest, Son of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. This is a special scripture, quoting from Psalms. The author of Hebrews really talks about, you know, Christ and his superiority, you know, over the prophets, and how he was superior because he was God. And look at verse 8, chapter 1. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. How God himself, God the Father, speaks to Jesus and calls him God. He's referred to as God, and he was known as the Son of God before he was born a man, took on a human body, fully God, fully man, bridging the gap between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us and refers to the purpose of his coming. In the account here this morning, he's not only called Jesus, to be called Jesus, which becomes such a precious name now. It was a common name, but now for us, it's like ointment that comes off our lips. The truth is, when we come before him, the reality of his name, Emmanuel, to be called Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, his deity, God the Son. But the purpose of his coming, he came, the Bible tells us, to save his people from their sins. He was the only one that could. He was the only qualified sacrifice. The Bible tells us he was sinless, took upon himself our sins. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. The only one that can bring forgiveness and sacrifice that please God to save his people from their sins. The Bible tells us, look at verse 32, chapter 1, as Gabriel told Mary, the end of the verse, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The purpose of his coming, he came to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us our sins, to rule over his creation, to be enthroned and set up an everlasting kingdom, the Bible tells us, as Gabriel prophesies to Mary. We see he came to rule over us. He came to cleanse us, forgive us of our sins. You know, we can know him differently. Jesus was a great teacher. You look at the Sermon on the Mount, and I've read, you know, commentaries where if you take the Sermon on the Mount, take all the philosophers and psychologists of all time, you know, boil down the best of what they have to offer and say, you get a rough graph of what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. How he was a great teacher. But, you know, and you can know him almost as a great teacher. You hear people say, I try to follow his teachings. In an impersonal way, you can come to know Jesus as a great teacher. But unless you're saved, you really can't be taught by him. Unless we understand Emmanuel, God with us, God bringing God to man, God bringing God to us, we can't be taught by him. We can't be ruled over by him. we must be saved in order to be subject to him. You know, and one thing, especially us at Calvary Chapel, we need to be careful about is, you know, we constantly study the Bible. We, you know, we're like Bibleologists from Genesis to Revelation. Open your Bible. Constantly going through it. Understanding it more than most bodies because of how we go through it, how we study it. But that's a, you know, can be a warning or a danger. You know, kind of try to get to know him. You study about him. Your mind becomes saved, as it were. You get to know about him, learn about him. You can learn and know about him and never really be saved. You know, theology is, a Greek word that means the study of God. Theo, or theos, or the, God. Ology, study of God. Or, you know, like geology, the study of rocks and earth, and archaeology, or radiology, the study of. You know, we can be in the study, in the pursuit, studying God. But yet, if, you know, we're not saved, we can't know him. We can't be taught by him. We need to be saved. It's all based on his coming, you know, a Savior coming, and the purpose of his coming, to save us from our sins. It's interesting because Mary, when, you know, this miracle was prophesied to her by the angel Gabriel, you know, she, you know, you're going to conceive, have a baby. And she said, well, how can these things be? For I know not a man. How can these things be? It's impossible. The angel answered, really, the power of the highest will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will do it. It's a power greater than you, Mary, that's going to overshadow you and bring to pass a supernatural work and birth in your life that you can't do. She said, how can these things be? How is it possible? And, you know, it's interesting because that's the same question Nicodemus said. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, how can these things be? How is it possible that I can be born again? Can I crawl back in my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus really, in essence, said, you have to believe. We have to believe, which brings forth the power of the Holy Spirit to bring forth what we can't do, a supernatural work and birth within us. Jesus telling Nicodemus, you know, you must be born again. Here, speaking of his name, Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, the only one that brings forth salvation. Emmanuel brings God to us by the power of God. You know, it is true. We can learn and grow, or we can study the Bible. You know, they say if you study the Bible for 10 years, that's the equivalent of having a PhD in Bible study. We could be a Bibleologist or Bibleologian. We can know the Bible and yet not know salvation. You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, Jesus said, you know, it kind of fits. You know, he told the shepherds, you'll find him wrapped in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, kind of like, we can find him if we look for him, if we open our heart to him. And yet, you know, Jesus even said, you know, we can study about him and still fall short of the truth, not know him in our heart, in our lives, in our soul. But Jesus said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's him, it's his life, the purpose of his coming, the purpose of his person, the work of his the work that he accomplishes on earth. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, he said simply, you know, how can a man be born again? You know, in that passage, answering Nicodemus said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, by simply believing in him. The Bible tells us that Jesus told his disciples, you know, that I will be with you. And then he said, I'm not going to be with you long, and then the Holy Spirit will be with you. First he'll be with you, and then he'll be in you. And the way he's with us, or fulfills the title of his name, Emmanuel, today with us, is in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's with us. How can these things be? You know, same question. Really, it's the same truth. And really, we're limited by how far we want to go with him. But Jesus answers that question the same way, you know. Believe. You have to trust and open your heart. Jesus told his disciples, you know, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, first he'll be with you, then he'll be in you. Give you guidance. Lead you into truth. You can study about him and fall short from him. And yet, opening your heart to him, the birth of Jesus, really speaks about his work on earth, saving us from our sins. Our Savior, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord, as we celebrate his birth. You know, he came to save, the only name given under heaven by which we must be saved. He saves us from sin's penalty. You know, we're exonerated from hell. You accept Jesus Christ, you believe in his death, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He saves you from judgment and condemnation. And the Bible tells us that he not only saves us from judgment, but he saves us from the ruin of sin in our life. We can still be in sin today, but he's come to save us from sin. We could have evil habits or character, or we can be flirting or be in a sinful lifestyle. We can live with sinfulness, tendencies, ensnared in sin. And Jesus will free us. He'll remove it. He'll cleanse us. If we believe, if we turn to him, if we trust him, we open our heart to him. Emmanuel, be with us in the person of the Holy Spirit today. The Son of God. You know, really, the Son of God, the power to do it. It's God who comes in. It's God who brings God to us, and it's God who works God in us. It's the Son of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, brings change, has the effect, brings victory. How can these things be? Only through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. You know, we think about, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. I heard a couple of people talking about, what does God want for Christmas? You know, it's his birthday. Or, what does he want for his birthday? The girl there at the tea was saying, well, what does Jesus want for his birthday? And yet, I know what he wants. You know, he wants our heart. He wants us to truly hold up before him our heart, bar none, Lord. He wants our will. He wants our willingness to affect the power that he has for us. It can only come through subjecting to him, that he might rule over us, you know, save us from our sins. It only comes from a willingness before him, a trust in him, a heart before him. Let's pray. Lord, we do look to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the account of your the birth of Jesus Christ. the meaningfulness and the purpose of why you came, Lord, to save us from our sins. Lord, if there's anyone here engaged in sin, sinful habit, lifestyle, problem, Lord, cause all of us, Lord, to turn to you, that you might save us from our sin. Lord, let us know you and know the truth of you from the inside out, for you desire truth in the inward parts. Lord, that our heart might be in your hands, Lord, a heart set apart for your purpose, to trust you, to open up to you, that you might have your way and do your work within us. Lord, help us understand what you're trying to tell us, and to follow you, Lord, and to trust you according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.